Amen. You'll find my text this evening in the second part of Hebrews 11, verse 19. The verse itself reads, accounting, that is Abraham, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also, here's the little bit to emphasize, he received him in a figure. That is, Abraham received Isaac in a figure. You will know that we came across that word figure last Sunday night when we preached from Romans 5 and 14. There we are told Adam is a figure of him who was to come. In other words, Adam was a figure of the Lord Jesus Christ, who God said would come into the world. Even in the days of Adam, he told Adam that a Savior, Christ, would come. And Adam was a figure. We learned last Sunday night, the word refers to a pattern, or an image, a print, or a type, a likeness. So Adam was a likeness in certain ways. Now, there were many points in which he was contrasted. He stands in stark contrast to Christ, but there were ways in which he was like Christ. And there is a likeness in certain aspects of Adam to Jesus Christ. Sometimes, preachers, commentators, theologians have referred to these figures as a foreshadowing. A shadow is a reflection. It's a reflection of something that is real. The shadow gives an outline. It gives an accurate outline. It's an accurate image, an accurate print, an accurate pattern of the real thing, but the shadow isn't the substance of the thing itself. The shadow isn't the real thing. If you come down to Lavacary Gardens on a sunny day in the summer, and when the sun is at a certain point in the sky, you will see a shadow of the church building. It is an outline. It will give you the rough outline. And you can pick out the outline of the church in the shadow, but the shadow isn't the actual building. And so when we talk about a foreshadowing, a figure, a likeness, we are saying that before Jesus came, that Adam in certain ways was a reflection of his life and ministry and work. And in verse 19 of Hebrews 11, we are being informed that Isaac, too, was a figure and a pattern of Christ's work in certain ways. And I want you to see something quite clearly from Hebrews 11 before we go back to Genesis 22. But Hebrews 11 verses 17 to 19 are specifically referring to what took place in Genesis 22. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, God tested him. And when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. When God commanded him and tested him to see whether he trusted the Lord, and he loved the Lord and valued the Lord more than Isaac, his promised son, he took Isaac. And that's where we come back to Genesis chapter 22. He took Isaac, his promised son, to the place called Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah or Moriah is only mentioned in one other place in the Bible. I didn't take a note of it in my notes, but it's in Chronicles. It's when David bought the threshing floor off Ornan, and there the house of God would be built. It's there. There's only one little mountain range in Jerusalem. And it's there in that little part of the city, with that hill part of the city where the Lord Jesus was crucified. There is a green hill far away without or outside a city wall where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. Abram was told to take Isaac to that very place. And there he was instructed by God to build an altar and to offer Isaac as a burnt offering unto God. That seemed contrary to the commands of God. For the Lord did not permit putting to death of another human being, nor did he permit human sacrifice among men. And yet at the end of this event, there is a wonderful type and figure and presentation of the salvation that God provides for sinners at Mount Calvary. Therefore, Isaac is a figure, and Abraham received it, and we should receive it. Isaac is a figure of the sacrifice of Christ for sins at Calvary. Paul, writing in Hebrews 10, verse 12, he said this, speaking of Christ, but this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. The death of Christ on the cross was a sacrifice for sins, a burnt offering, as it were, unto God. And that's what Isaac is a figure and a type and a representation of beforehand. In Isaac, I want you to turn back to Genesis 22. For in the offering up of Isaac, we see a number of things in relation to the sacrifice of Christ. I think the first thing we see and learn, or the first thing I want to bring to your attention tonight, is that the sacrifice was voluntary. It was voluntary. It is evident that Abraham, in obedience to God's command and God's word, that he was willing to offer his son Isaac. Look at verse 2, the command of the Lord, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Ishmael had been cast out. He was not the son of promise. He was the son of the flesh. And he was cast out when he tried to, when he persecuted Isaac. There's a whole other sermon there we'll maybe get to sometime, but it's a picture of how false religion, apostate religion, tries to kill off the true message of the Son. And there's an allegory there Paul speaks of. The religion of the flesh trying to put to death the Son of Promise, to do away with him. You know, that's apostate religion. It tries to do away with the message of the Son, the message of Christ, is the way of salvation. I'm just pointing out that in verse 2 here, when God said, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, he was the Son of Promise. Ishmael was the son of the flesh. He had been cast out of Abraham's tent because he had persecuted Isaac and was a threat to Isaac's life. God tells him to take the son of promise, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there. Now there's the command. Abraham could have questioned God. Many questions he could have asked, but Abraham, it tells us in verse 3, there was no questioning of God. There was no saying, Lord, how could this be? This doesn't add up. This doesn't match up with other parts of your word that you have told me. No, it says that Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass. And it tells us at the end of verse 3, and went unto the place which God had told him. Abraham willingly obeyed. And I believe that in Abraham we see a type of God the Father. You have Isaac as the son. But Abraham is a type of the Father, because in the message of the Gospel, God the Father willingly sent and gave His Son to the work of the cross to sacrifice His body and His soul for the sins of men and women, to save them from their iniquities. And He gave them willingly. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. The Son that He loved, the darling of His bosom. He gave Him, and He gave Him to the crib, and He gave Him to the crowd, and He gave Him to the cross. He gave Him willingly. The Father is a Father of love, to give His Son to be the sacrifice. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. God the Father loves sinners just as Christ loves sinners. And when there was none other good enough to pay the price of sin, the Father commissioned the Son and sent Him forth. There's a lovely verse in the book of Job that describes it in poetic form, where the Father says, I have found a ransom. He could search all of heaven and the angelic hosts. He could look to earth and humanity from Adam to the end of time. And He wouldn't have found one good enough or qualified to be the ransom for the souls of men. But He found one in Jesus Christ, His Son. And therefore He commissioned Him and sent Him willingly to this world to be the Savior of sinners. Well, the Father willingly gave His Son, but the emphasis is in this passage is on the sacrifice, and therefore it's Isaac's willingness that stands out and is set forth. And it sets forth the voluntary nature of the sacrifice of the Son of God. And look at chapter 22. Let's just follow this again. Isaac, in verse 7, spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. He said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, a fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Isaac, sometimes, you know, in our minds, we go back to our childhood years, and we picture things from our childhood years, and I'm certainly not against using visual aids in children's work. I think it can be helpful at times, but sometimes it can paint the wrong picture. I remember when I was a wee boy in Sunday school, and it was the old flannel, that's all PowerPoint, it was the old flannel boards. And I remember hearing this story as a boy in Sunday school. And you have Abraham, he's a really old man with long grey white hair and a big white beard. He's put up on the flannel board. And then there's the altar of stone in the wood across it. And you have Isaac, and Isaac looks a boy. Might have been 9 or 10 years of age, maybe 13 or 14 years of age, maybe most 15, 16 years of age. And sometimes in our mind, that's what we conjure up when we think of this scene, because we remember seeing it. And we think about it the way we've seen it. But Isaac was no boy when he came with his father to Mount Moriah. And he was no teenager. He was a mature man, because he pictures the Son of God. And the Son of God was a mature man when he was offered on the cross. and Isaac was mature enough to be able to discern there was no lamb. What were we going to offer? Are we going to just find a lamb on Mount Moriah? And it brought that saying from Abraham, God will provide himself a lamb. But by the time they get to the place and they build the altar and lay the wood in order, it tells us in verse 9 that Abram bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham is an old man. Isaac was the son of his old age, and now Isaac has grown to maturity. And had Isaac not been willing to be placed on that altar, he could easily have overpowered his father. He could have walked away. And I'm saying to you that something happened between verse 7 and verse 9 where Abraham had to explain to Isaac that God had told him to offer up his son and that he was the sacrifice. And Isaac, in hearing that, he was willing for the father to bind him and to place him on the altar. There was no force from Abraham. Isaac submitted. And as Abram's only son and his loved son, we now see him as the obedient son. Because he obeyed the father and he was willing to become the sacrifice. Isn't that what Paul spoke of in Philippians 2? That though he was in the form of, though he was God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and being obedient, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And in the sacrifice of Isaac, we see the willingness, the voluntary nature of Christ's sacrifice. He was obedient to the Father, and willingly he came forth to the cross in John 12 and 27 with the shadow of Calvary over him. He said, "For this cause came I forth." To die on the cross. Paul, writing to the churches at Galatia, said, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." He willingly left the splendor of heaven, took upon himself the form of a servant when he was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, became a man, dwelt among men, to go to the cross and be obedient unto death that he might provide salvation for sinners. It's wonderfully typified in Genesis 22. Let me point out a couple of verses. Look at verse 7. It says, and it tells us, in fact it's not verse 7, it's verse 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. What a picture. As they climbed the final stretch of Mount Moriah, the servants left and way in the background, Isaac takes the wood, or Abram takes the wood, and he places it on his son Isaac, and he carries it up that hill. What a picture of the Son of God bearing the cross and carrying the wood of the cross on which he would be offered, and his soul would be offered an offering for sin. The cross, of course, it's a symbol of sin being paid for. All the shame that would go with the death of the cross, what the cross would mean, taking our sin and bearing it for us. And as Isaac carried that wood, it was in type showing forth Christ would bear the cross for us. The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all, and at the cross He paid our debt. And He suffered for our sin. He took the cross for us. He bore the burden to Calvary. He suffered and died alone. And then I want you to see something else of how the voluntary nature of His sacrifice was typified. Not only did He voluntarily take the cross symbolized in the wood, but He voluntarily took the judgment for sin and the justice of God for our sin. Look at verse 7 now. He says, He spake unto Abram his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb? Verse 6, I should have read as well. It says, And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. You have the knife that symbolizes the sword of justice. And when Isaac was being placed on that altar, he knew the knife was going to fall, and then the fire would consume him. And he was willing to take both. And the knife in the Bible, the sword in the Bible, it signifies judgment, justice. That's why I think I'm right in saying this. Brought up just north of Belfast, and when I left school and I worked with my father for a number of years, we would travel the country, but a lot of the business was in and around Belfast, and I often remember travelling up and down the Crumlin Road, the old courthouse, and I think I'm right in saying it's an absolute mess at the minute. It's in a real state of disrepair, but there was on the top of that courthouse, that there was, I think it was a lady, if I'm wrong in that, forgive me. But on one hand, she had the scales, on the other hand, the sword. It was the scales where you were tried, and whether you were guilty, and that was the symbol of it, the scales, you would be tried, see whether you were guilty. On the other hand, the sword, and the sword signified justice or judgment for crime or sin. And so it is. That idea comes from the Bible. So it is in the Bible. The sword is a picture of justice and judgment. And the fire pictures the wrath of God that burns against sin. And the Son was willing to take both. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow. Smite the shepherd. And there in the prophecy of Zechariah, you have it foretold that the sword of justice and judgment would fall upon the Son, the Shepherd, the Good Shepherd, for our sins. And on the cross He would take the fiery wrath of God in His soul to pay the price for our sin. And in Isaac we see a foreshadowing. He voluntarily subjected Himself to be placed on that altar, to be offered as a burnt offering, and all that it meant. And it's a type of Christ that He volunteered to come from heaven, to become a man, to bear the burden of the cross and take our sin and have the sword of justice fall on Him and pay the price of judgment for our sin, that we, the sinful sons of Adam's race, might go free. That's the gospel. That's the sacrifice of the gospel and what it means. I want you to see, secondly, not only was it a voluntary sacrifice, it was a vicarious sacrifice. The word vicarious, or the word, it's really where we get the word vicar from, and it means in place of or instead of. The sacrifice of Christ was in place of sinners. And it's brought out in a wonderful way in Genesis 22. And I want you to follow this, because in this type or figure, Isaac, up until a certain point, is the type and figure of Jesus Christ. But there is a point where the figure changes. And you'll see it there. If I can just put my eye on the verse, it tells us that there it is, verse 13. Look at the end of verse 13 and see these words. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead or in the place of his son. And at that point, the type changes. Up to that point, Abraham is about to plunge the knife into Isaac. He pictures the Son of God, sacrifice for sinners. He's the only son. He's the beloved son. He's the obedient son. And on the beloved son, the only begotten son, the obedient son, the sword of judgment would fall for our sins. But at that moment in type, it changes. For God would not permit Abraham to slay or to kill Isaac. He did not permit human sacrifice among men. And at that point, when Abraham lifted the knife and was ready to plunge it into Isaac, God knew he passed the test. God tried him. God tested him. And sometimes God does that with his people. And Abram passed the test. He loved God more than Isaac. And he trusted the Lord in all things. And so in that moment, the angel of the Lord called unto him in verse 11, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, Here am I, lay not thine hand upon the lad. That's maybe where you get the idea that he was just a boy. But I assure you, he was a mature man. Neither do thou any harm unto him. For now I know thou fearest God, seeing thou withheld not thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket. The ram now becomes the type of Christ. And what a type it is. Because he's caught in the thicket and he's caught by the horns. And if he'd have been caught anywhere else in the thicket, Abraham couldn't have offered him, because the lamb had to be without spot and without blemish. Representing the lamb physically had to have no blemish. Couldn't be torn. The flesh couldn't be torn. Couldn't be diseased or limping or some other problem with him. Because physically the lamb had to represent that the Messiah would be without spot and without blemish. He would be holy before the Lord and of no sin. And if he was caught anywhere else, only the horns, he would have been blemished and marred. And isn't it in type so perfect? Because Jesus Christ, he was the spotless lamb, but also upon his head, he wore a crown of thorns to bear the curse for sinners. And Abraham took that ram, and now the type changes, and the ram is a picture of the Lamb of God. And Isaac on that altar is a type and a picture of the sinner. He's a type and picture of you. Because you see, my friend, the sword of God's judgment, the knife of God's judgment should have fallen on you. For your sin, you should have been punished for your sin. And rightly so. If God had punished all of Adam's race when he sinned in the garden, no one could argue against the justice of God. And I want you to picture yourself there in Isaac's place. And the sword is about to fall and you're about to die and you're about to perish. It's about to fall on you. But God says, there's one that will take your place. There's a lamb, a spotless lamb, a holy lamb, a sinless lamb. You cannot take the binds off Isaac. And he can get off the altar and he can go free and he can live. Because there's another to take his place. And the spotless lamb was taken and it was bound, the lamb without blemish, and it was placed on the altar. And Abraham took the knife and the knife fell upon the ram and it died instead of Isaac. Its blood was shed instead of Isaac. It died instead of Isaac. And Isaac lived because the lamb died. And my friends, that's the gospel. Isn't it wonderful? I make it for myself. You apply it to you. I should have perished for my sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death, and it brings forth judgment. And the judgment of God for sin is eternity in hell. I should have perished for my sin. But there's a lamb who took my place. And he took the sword of God's justice and judgment when his hands were nailed to Calvary's cross and his feet were nailed to the tree. When he took the crown of thorns, the thorns symbolized the curse. When God cursed the ground, thorns and thistles shall it bring forth. And he bore the curse of God for my sin. And because he shed his blood and he died in my place, in him I can go free. I can have life. I can have eternal life. I have eternal life in Jesus Christ because he died for me instead of me. There's a hymn, I can't think of the words just now, but it's entitled, Instead of Me. And instead of me, he bore the judgment of God. My friends, that's the only way, and I stress this tonight. My time is gone, but I stress it. The only way you can go free from the judgment of God for your sin is that Jesus Christ would pay your debt upon the cross. And are you trusting in Him? Have you had that time in your experience where you have received Him by faith to be your Savior? And has your sins been washed away? I have a final thought, point. I'll summarize it as quickly as I can. The sacrifice in type was voluntary. It was vicarious. It was victorious. We finished tonight where we started in Hebrews 11. Look at verse 19. Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Abraham, he was trying to work it out. God said that in Isaac shall my seed be called. How can it be if Isaac's to be sacrificed and put to death? How can he have a seed? He accounted, accounting, verse 19, the word accounting, it means to reckon. Is the idea of working it out. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham believed that had he sacrificed Isaac and put him to death, as he lifted that knife, he believed God would raise him from the dead. Why? Because he knew the Messiah would rise from the dead. And he received and he took that what he was doing with Isaac and Moriah was a figure and a type of what would be the ministry and the work of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, and therefore he reckoned, he accounted that God would raise him from the dead. While the Lord called unto Abram and told him to stop, Isaac wasn't put to death. Yet, this is where no type is perfect. No foreshadowing is perfect. Yet, though Isaac went free, Abraham in his mind reckoned and accounted God could raise him from the dead because the Messiah would rise from the dead. And that's the triumph of the gospel. That's the victory of the gospel. Jesus died for our sins and he rose again the third day to triumph over death. And he now lives in the power of an endless life. And the Bible says, because he lives, we shall live also. He has conquered death for us, his people. And the question is, are you one of his children? Are you one of his people? Will you live because of him? Only those that are in Christ by faith, real salvation, genuine salvation, in him, union with him through saving faith, will live and conquer and triumph over death. And therefore tonight I close by saying to you, what a wonderful type Isaac is. The sacrifice of Christ, voluntarily undertaken to provide salvation for sinners, vicarious in its nature. He died in our place and for us. And he triumphed over death, that all who are in him by true saving union with him in faith, triumph over death also. Are you in him? Are you saved? Are you one of his people? I trust that you are. And what a wonderful illustration of the